Continue with our agenda. We have just a couple of information items left for today. 19, aquatic invasive species. Jake Davis is with us here in person. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling, Jake Davis, Fisheries Program Administrator. Just going to give a brief update on the Department's Aquatic Invasive Species Program. We are in July now. Program's been running for a couple months and just thought it'd be good to provide an update on where the program's at, what we're seeing in the field, and how things are looking. I can tell you as we wait here, it's been a busy summer, and really we're at the point that some of our interns, even in a month or so, are going to be start heading back to school. I believe state universities start the third week of August. So it's gone fast. It's been a good summer so far. And really, again, just want to highlight some of really what the program, where we've been this year and what we've seen. So again, just going to briefly touch on some of the topics that are included in our program this year. A big thing is going to be communications. Again, that's our primary tool to reach users, provide the right tools that they can implement best management practices every time they use a surface water in South Dakota. Give some numbers on where we're at, and then some of the efforts that are happening by the department and also some of our partners out there on the ground. So I want to start with our communication staff. They've done an excellent job this year to reach out to users using multiple media platforms, social media, partnered with an advertising firm out of Sioux Falls for things like gas station TV and some other avenues that we don't have at our disposal. But really, just to be timely, I mentioned back in June that we had done a big push for Memorial Day, and we had our AIS Awareness Week. So some of the things we did back then, now moving to that next major holiday being July 4th. So some of the things that our communication staff did was, again, more targeted messaging. This is an example of an email that went out with four essential AIS type messaging for our users. With that, we had some other avenues with state parks, newsletters, and things, but again, we focused on those big major use times that we have. And so July 4th was the most recent one, and we'll have one coming up again for Labor Day as well. What we have also seen is that we've got some user groups that we maybe didn't focus on in the past as much as we probably should have. One of the big ones this year would be jet skis, personal watercraft. And so we've had more targeted messaging for jet ski users, that they do have plugs in those vessels that they need to pull as well. And so some of our evolving messaging that comes with essentially what we see in the field. So we're able to build that into our messaging campaign, and I just want to point out that this probably most recent example would be those jet skis. Now, one of the other things that we really did going into this year was to fully staff our watercraft inspection stations. That include both Game Fish and Park stations across the state, but also our partners in Western South Dakota, our county conservation districts. Last year, if you remember some of our updates, we had a number of positions that went unfilled, and so did they. Additionally, we had a number of open conservation officer positions. Tom mentioned that earlier. So this year, there was a big push to fill all advertised positions. We actually had a workforce recruitment plan that we implemented. And what that meant was on the Game Fish and Park side, we really filled all of our advertised seasonal and intern positions. On the County Conservation District side, we have a handful of openings. We're still actively trying to fill those, but in general, we filled more positions than we did last year. What has that meant for us is that we have more people on the ground conducting inspections. So where we're at, this is as of July 17th, earlier this week, just over 12,800 inspections. For reference, last year at this time, we had just under 12,100 inspections. So again, more staff in the field filling these watercraft inspection location stations and again conducting more inspections. As I mentioned, as Tom mentioned, our law enforcement officers, we have less vacancies. That's also added more staff time in the field. Where we're at this year, we've seen 103 citations and 112 warnings. Last year combined between citations and warnings for the year was just over 100. So again, really just seeing the efforts of being able to fill those advertised positions with both Game Fish and Parks and also the county conservation districts to have more staff in the field. Just to break it down a little bit, this is a question we get quite frequently because we do have inspection stations all across the state and they are operated a little differently. Some are road-based, such as Eastern and Central South Dakota, where we have a high volume of access areas, boat ramps, and water bodies. We we tend to focus more on thoroughfares to cover more water bodies essentially versus access base like we do in western South Dakota. It's a lot easier to put one inspection station at Belfouche Reservoir, for example, than to try and pick one boat ramp in eastern South Dakota where you may have dozens or maybe hundreds in a small area. So with that, we do approach it a little bit differently. But just you can see some of the individual numbers here. We've got it broke out by our roadside crews. A couple things I do want to point out that in general we're up in a lot of them, but if you look at that Webster roadside, for example, you'll see on the left-hand column that's going to be 2023. On the right and right column that's going to be 2022. You'll see that we're really down this year. The reason I want to point that out is last year we were operating a 7-day-a-week, 12-hour-a-day inspection station at Enemy Swim Lake. That was a partnership with that lake association. That is not happening this year. That was lumped into that. So what you're seeing with that is really that discrepancy is just not having that station at Enemy Swim. But if we were to look at just our roadside numbers, we're actually encountering more users this year with that crew than we were last year. Also, you see that our Webster roving crew, there's no numbers for 22. That was a crew that we were not able to fill with staff. This year we were able to fill those positions, and so you're seeing those additional inspections there. I do want to point out that while it's only down a little bit, Pactola, for example, is down this year compared to last year. I think a big thing in the Black Hills is that we've had a cool, wet summer so far. That has impacted our use. It's just a kind of a result of the environment. It's been a nice summer out west, I'll tell you that, but it has impacted. For example, July 4th, it was 50 degrees and raining in a lot of places in the Black Hills. It's not a great day to go to the water. So that does impact our numbers at times. But again, just wanted to point out some of our individual inspections because we do get that question as far as how that looks across the landscape. As far as our detection and monitoring, as I mentioned earlier this year, talking about our approach for Game Fish and Park staff, we have implemented more of a standardized AIS sampling with our standard lake fish population surveys. What that's meant so far is that staff, when they're all conducting a lake survey, they'll also add in an AIS component. So far, we've surveyed 19 waters using shoreline methods, essentially walking the shoreline in shallow areas, looking for different kinds of AIS. This is going to be vegetation, but also mussels as well. And then we've also conducted vegetation surveys on 57 waters across the state. So what staff are doing here is at certain locations, they'll throw a vegetation rake. Basically, it's a cutoff garden rake that you throw in the water and pull it back to the boat and see what kind of vegetation you have on there. This has resulted in several detections of vegetation in places we didn't have it, AIS. We update our AIS map on South Dakota Least Wanted and then put up the appropriate signage as well when those detections occur. We've also been asking the public to use our citizen monitoring at sdleastwanted.sd.gov. We've had some reports come in that way. We do follow up with those. A number of those so far that have come in have been, well, in all honesty, all of them so far have been negative, but that's all right. We do appreciate that folks report that information. I'll cover that a little bit more in depth here in a second. So far in 2023, the only detection that we've had of zebra mussels has been the Sand Lake Refuge and then the James River that runs through it. That was detected just recently, but again, that's our only detection so far that we're aware of that we've confirmed for zebra mussels in South Dakota in 2023. That being said, this is the time of year where we start to see settlers, those juvenile free-floating zebra mussels start to settle out. And really here, it's always important to clean, drain, dry, but this is the time of year when you really probably have a lot of veligers floating around in that lake and stream water. So with that, just wanted to cover where our detection and monitoring is at. The other important aspect of that is going to be the reporting side. So for members of the public, if you think that you see something that an aquatic invasive species, something that just doesn't look right, we have a number of ways that you can report this information to you. We appreciate all of these reports. We do get a number every year. Some turn out to be valid. Some we go out and investigate and it turns out to be either a native species or just something that they just ID'd incorrectly, but that's all right. We still like to have that information. We do follow up on those. Ways that people can do this, sdleastwanted.sd.gov, that citizen monitoring portal. Additionally, contact your local GFP office, your local officer, GFP staff. Somehow it'll make its way to either myself or Tanner Davis, our aquatic invasive species statewide coordinator. Information can be sent that way. What we will ask folks to do, which sometimes this happens, sometimes it doesn't, but it really helps us, When you're going to report something, please take a photo of it. If you have that ability to have your phone with or something, to take a picture of it so that we can do a quick assessment. And again, sometimes we can identify it right from the photo on whether or not it's an AIS or not. But again, take a photo, document that location, and then leave that organism where you found it as well. But again, just the things we want to point out, but a number of ways that we can have members of the public report information to us. So just kind of doing a quick summary, again, just wanted to make this real brief and then take any questions if there are any. We're down, we feel a little bit of inspections in Western South Dakota, but primarily due to the weather that we've had out there. With that, we'll see how the rest of the summer goes. But so far in 2023, we're at just under 12,900. We're probably over that now because, again, these numbers are from Monday. We're continuing to partner with lake associations and the public in general. We've got a number of good projects going, whether it's signage or passing out settler samplers to look for other AIS, zebra mussels and things. But again, good partnerships with our lake associations. Just the one detection so far on the Sand Lake Refuge in the James on July 6th. But this is the time of year that we start to see those detections. And so the next, really all the way till ice up, are the times that we expect to see potential infestations really start to show. So with that, if you think you see something that's suspect, please reach out to us, use the citizen monitoring portal. And again, if possible, take pictures, provide locations. But again, any way that you can get a hold of us, the nice thing is that word finds Tanner and I pretty quickly, and then we have staff all over the state that we can get out very quickly to investigate, and that's exactly what we do. And the big message every time, clean, drain, dry. Continue to push that. Again, outreach and education. We can't be everywhere all the time, so really trying to provide users with the tools that they can implement for best management practices every time they use a surface water in South Dakota. So with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Any questions for Jake? Commissioner Whitmire.
Commissioner Whitmire, yeah, thank you, Jake. On the compliance, do you have a read or do you have any data on how 2023 is doing? I mean, are we doing better with the public? Are they getting better at draining and being more aware?
Yeah. To the chair. Commissioner Whitmire, we don't have any numbers right now, and we'll kind of run those at the end of the year. What I will say is that we use some anecdotal field data to kind of give us some indications. One would be the jet skis, for example, and that's why we tailored some of the messaging to that, because the inspection stations were seeing a lot of jet skis with plugs in. Again, some anecdotal conversations, some areas seem really good, other areas you might be seeing some folks that, and not to say that they're getting complacent, but at times we need to continue to push that message of pulling all those plugs in, so you'll see that with our messaging. Again, where we feel that that need is occurring based on what we're getting from the field, we'll tailor some of that messaging to it. But I don't have any hard numbers for you right now on compliance.
Yeah, any additional questions? Commissioner Bartling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Bartling. Jake, where's the determination made as to whether it's a citation versus a warning when it comes to this?
Through the chair. So Commissioner Bartling, and again, that's going to come, I prefer that a law enforcement officer would answer that, but they certainly do have some discretion, and a lot of it's going to be situation-based. And so I have a hard time giving you a specific black and white answer on it, but I can tell you that we've had different scenarios that have been discussed, because that's a question that we get, they get frequently, and it's going to come down to each individual situation and how that officer feels is the best way to respond.
All right, very good. Commissioner White?
Yes, Commissioner White, I do quite a bit of fishing across the state, and I think it's real important, as you already have specified, that we have signage out there. You know, looking at the totals here, we have 2-to-1 resident to non-resident fishermen in that are looking at the licenses here. So I think it's important that we have that signage so that out-of-state out-of-state fishermen have knowledge of what our expectations are of their keeping up with what we're supposed to be doing out there. Thank you.
Very good. Looks like we're moving in a good direction.